Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Building HVAC Science Podcast. You know, if you've been listening for a while, it's our goal to help create better, more knowledgeable HVAC and building performance technicians by helping the two professions to better understand each other with the ultimate goal, making customers happy in the homes they're living in and the buildings they're working in. Inside HVAC. This episode, which was recorded at the ACCA 2024 conference, that's the Air Conditioning Contractors Association, the conference in March, this past March in Orlando, Eric Kaiser interviewed Wes Davis, who's the Director of Technical Services at ACCA. Wes shared his extensive experience with ACCA. He was also a former contractor. You'll hear that in the interview. But he talks about his core responsibilities, especially the importance of developing ACCA's role in revising standards such as manuals J, S, D, and T, which are critical for proper HVAC installation and maintenance. They've also made a big step, a transition to offer these standards free for online viewing to increase accessibility, industry engagement, and most importantly, to increase use of these good standards. So I'll let this interview develop here, and Eric Kaiser, our ELK, talking with Wes Davis on Inside HVAC, Code Standards, and Shaping the Future at ACCA Conference 2024.
Welcome back to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. I'm Eric Kaiser, and today we're recording live from Orlando, Florida at the ACCA 2024 conference. Sitting at the table with me right now, I have Mr. Wes Davis from the ACCA. Wes, welcome to the show.
Eric, I am so happy. Thank you for inviting me. I feel very honored.
You're welcome. Really do. Likewise, very honored to have you sitting here next to me today. Bill wasn't able to make the trip down here, so everybody just gets listen to me.
I love Bill Spohn, but I love sitting across the table from you two. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Likewise. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for ACCA?
I am the Director of Technical Services, and it came about, I got hired on almost 20 years ago at ACCA.
Wow.
And
you're a lifer.
They haven't sobered up yet, so I still got a job. Started out codes and standards primarily, worked on our quality maintenance standard when it started out, and also the home improvement standard, the QH12, was a project on which I got to work. And of course, lots of code hearings, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time, because as you know, codes can be a dry subject until someone tries to pass something that just is an abomination. And then you've got to be up and on your game and ready to make an argument.
And reading
all those code changes. And so, yes, that was a full-time gig for a while. And then we started our contractor accreditation effort. And that was a lot of fun working with Energy Star and contractors across country. And then I got ready to go on vacation. And just about the time I was ready to leave, my boss said, I quit. And so he retired, and Don Prather, my boss at the time was Glenn Horahan. Glenn, if you're listening, thank you very much. And then a few months later, Don Prather said, I think I'm going to retire. And actually, that wasn't quite a surprise. He had made no bones about the fact that he had a date set in mind, and it just happened to coincide. So I was the last Indian in the ring, and it's been bringing on great team members, working with great team members. David Bixby doing codes and standards now, working with Ed Janowak, working with Matt Akins, some of the best trainers in the world. Very, very pleased and honored to have them on the team. And of course, Sean Tolbert does a lot of the administrative work on our QA program now. He carries a lot of that water. So I'm just extremely happy and get to come here and work with great people and talk to awesome people like you.
Well, it's a lot of fun. This is my first time at this conference, and it's been neat talking to people around here, meeting a few new faces, and I'm looking forward to it. This is the first day of the show for me, so yeah. I'll be here for a couple more days.
Oh, I tell you what, this gets better and better. It really does. We've got the last session in our technical-oriented conference is David Treleaven. So we saved the best for last. On the ACCA side, the last closing session is with Ken Goodrich, and so he's going to have a lot of great things to say, so we're very excited about that.
Very cool. So what is the technical services, you said? What is that arm of ACCA? What all do they provide, and what do you facilitate in that?
So I think we have four main areas, and I talked a little bit about each one of those. One is codes. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure we promote and implement or encourage the adoption of good codes. And David Bixby honchos that. Also prevent bad codes from happening, and not just at IAPMO or ICC, but also in the National Electric Code. We're finding some requirements there that don't make a lot of sense. And it's really not so much they don't make a lot of sense, but they were implemented without a lot of research and awareness of whether or not they would work. And so contractors have to live with the results of those decisions. So codes, big thing. Next is education. I mentioned Matt and Ed. So we're delivering training on our standards. I mean, J, S, and D, T is our cornerstone, our wheelhouse. But I think you have had or will have a conversation with Matt Akins, and he's talked about some of the other education offerings that we have. So education, another big part of it, developing online, virtual, and in-person content for our members and for others. Next is our accreditation effort, contractor accreditation. So that's our program built for supporting Energy Star. Along the way, we partnered up with MeasureQuick, and we now offer a quality installation certificate. We've opened that up not just to members or other accredited contractors. It's open to anyone. So anyone can step forward and say, I do quality installations. I've met requirements. Those requirements have been objectively verified by MeasureQuick, collected wirelessly. So we have a lot of confidence in the work that was done and the standards that were met. And so that brings me to the last point, standards. ACC is well known for Manual J, not so well known for Manual S, although that is a new standard that we've made available online, free viewing.
Yeah, that just came out, a week ago, maybe?
A couple of weeks, maybe.
From when we're recording this.
And thank you, Eric, for your hard work on that. I need to take a big, deep bow and say you offered a lot of good comments and insights, things that we had written. And of course, when you're writing something and you discuss it back and forth and up and down, and you know what you wanted to say and how you wanted to say it, and you put that on paper, and then a fresh set of eyes looks at it and says, wait a minute, this doesn't necessarily make sense, or I don't think you meant what you said you meant, or what you said. And so your insights were very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was really proud to be part of that, because I find that in the industry, that's an underutilized standard.
And we're hopeful that by presenting it online free of charge, contractors will see it. And if they want to buy a copy, great. Same thing for code enforcement. One of the big aspects that we revised in Manual S was specifying, here's the information needed for code enforcement. And so code officials can go online and see that free of charge. But this isn't a Manual S podcast. We're talking about other standards. And so Manual D is currently out for public review. So if you're interested in taking a look at duct design, duct sizing requirements, those are out, and we would welcome comments from anyone who's got a good recommendation. And then we've got a quality installation standard that's going to be revised in the very, very near future. Lots of updates coming. We've got a lot of work ahead of us.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I find a lot of people will talk about the standards and the codes, and they'll maybe complain about it. Maybe they don't like the way something's written in there. But this was a kind of a new process for me. This is really the first standard that I got involved with personally. And it was very educational for me to see the backside of this and how the process works. How does somebody bring that, and how do they get involved with something like that? Because you guys need help. You guys need input from the industry to write these standards in a way that's usable. One thing I learned is it's not just we want to ram this down the industry's throat because right. we think it's the best thing. We need to write this in a way that the industry can actually use it, that it's good for the industry and good for the end user, the homeowner.
Absolutely. And so as a trade association, we're very good about reaching out to our members, but we need to do a better job of reaching out to the community at large. I think that's something that I need to take and work on. And part of the process is to open the standard up for public review. And we certainly welcome comments from the public. And we want to make sure everyone knows that that standard is out there and it is open for discussion. We do welcome comments, but I can do a much better job of reaching out to the community at large and welcoming people into the development process. So we typically like a nice, small, tight-knit group of experts that can help us work through edits. And then we have a larger review committee that then takes a look at the document and discusses those edits. And what did we get right? And those fresh eyes who say, maybe you didn't quite mean what you said, and let's fix that. So yeah.
I was amazed when you said, yeah, I want you to be part of this, because I never expected myself to be in that company, shall we say. But the thing I learned was, if you want to be involved in something like that, come in with a problem and a solution to that problem.
Solutions are always welcome. And to go back to something you said, this is an open and an inclusive process. I think there can sometimes be the impression that this is an exclusive club and you have to know certain people or have certain letters after your name in order to participate. And that is not the case. In fact, I almost prefer to have someone that doesn't have a lot of letters behind their name, that just does this work on a regular basis and can provide feedback and input, that this is our intended audience. So I want their feedback. You know, I read this and I think it means this. Well, you know what? That really wasn't what we wanted to happen. So let's fix that. Then we have very learned, smart individuals like yourself who provided a lot of good feedback and helped us fix a lot of problems. So again, I'm taking that as an action item to make sure that the industry at large, contractors, professionals, everyone knows that they can contribute to this process.
Yeah, and have input on it, because I was coming up through the industry, hearing these standards, these things like that, and I read that, it to me, it kind of felt like a black box because I didn't understand how the process worked. And I'm assuming that because I felt that way, there's probably a lot of others that may feel that same way and may have that same perception, but it's not. It's actually a process that anybody can comment on. They've got to go to the ACCA website to find that and make comments.
They do. And ANSI publishes a standards action every week, every Friday afternoon, at least every Friday. And it announces these documents that are open for public review. ACC has a dedicated webpage. And if we have a document that's out for public review, we post it and make sure that you know where you can go to find a copy, how you can provide us that comment and feedback. And we do promote or publicize the fact that we are sending a document out for public review. So we have press releases that go out. But I think the audience at large probably peruses a lot more social media and or other platforms. And so we need to partake of those and make sure that the more people know that we want to hear their input.
Possibly, yeah, because that's a requirement of an ANSI document.
It is.
Is that anytime you have to review it every so many years.
We do.
And put that out for public comment and then respond to each one of those public comments.
Absolutely. And that is all comments, receive a response. Sometimes it's, hey, thank you, but the issue that you raised may be beyond the scope of the standard. Yes, we do agree that quality installation is very important, but that's not something where you can necessarily write into a manual S, for example. And I was trying to think of a better example, and words failed me there. But sometimes things are outside the scope. Sometimes things are a bit more fanciful or require research. We don't know the answer to that question. So we do need to do some research, and that's something we can handle in a future revision. As you said, we have to revisit those on a regular basis, and so we take that very seriously. We do want to investigate and invest in research that helps promote and support stronger standards.
Very nice, and easy to use, as easy to use as possible.
And that's where we get very learned folks who help us with the research and collecting that information, and how we present that then needs to be passed through the filter of the people who are going to use it. And so those comments, again, are as welcome as an angel. We want to know what people read or understand, what they gather from it when they do read it, because we want to be able to communicate effectively. We try to use very, very terse language and set specific requirements with the intention of being clear. But sometimes it doesn't always happen. So we welcome that feedback.
Yeah. Language, I think, is the language of standards and codes is very different than what we use in everyday language a lot. And that's something else that I've heard from people, like that's a barrier to overcome when reading this. But that's where when you get into an ACCA standard, you have a normative section, which is the standard itself. But then you have an informative section, which helps to interpret that.
Absolutely. And not only interpret, but maybe provide an example So if we are talking about sizing variable capacity heat pumps with supplemental dehumidification or active dehumidification, here's an example. We'll discuss that. Here's the principles involved, but also here's an example. Here's a load. Here's some equipment capacity. Here's a dehumidifier with its performance data, and let's apply that to this problem and see how it works. So yeah, the informative section is very important as well. In fact, I'm working diligently on the current Manual S user's guide, if you will, the informative section. And it was written by someone else, an author I greatly admire. So I'm just finding the time to go through and read that and say, you know what, I think we could unpack this a bit more. Or we need an illustration or a table, something that helps us understand this performance data or some aspect. And I'm not going to geek out too much here.
That's what we're here. We're here to geek out. So feel free to geek out. And I think this is a distinction that I want to show here. The new Manual S is a departure from what ACCA has done before with their standards when they published them in the way that it was published.
Oh, with the online?
Yeah.
It is. This was a concept we brought to our products committee several months ago now. It might have been an annual meeting almost 2 years ago or shortly thereafter. It's been a while. But we brought this concept up and we were very excited when they were supportive. We pointed to other organizations that have done similar things, International Code Council, the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials, ASHRAE, all published their standards online or their codes online and make those available to professionals across the industry for free viewing. And that seemed a good model to follow. We want to get the word out. We want to make sure that more people have access. And then if they wanted a printed copy, then great. We're happy to sell a printed copy as well.
They can sell that, buy that printed copy. But then that informative section is not included in the standard now. And that's going to be a separate user guide in the future. And it's
right.
A little ways down the road yet. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire on that one.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Eric. But yes, that is in the offing and that is a product of hard work. So with the standard, we have a lot of volunteers that contributed their time and effort. So I think it makes a lot of sense that they gave freely, so ACCA should give freely. In the case of the user's guide, we've paid an author to create a document. We need to recoup some of those costs. We hope that that's not an onerous burden and that the juice is worth the squeeze, as they say.
I'm excited to see the final product on that user's guide. I think that will be very nice too, as a companion to the standard as it's written. And hopefully the standard is useful to the industry.
Absolutely.
I think with some of the new things, the heat pump sizing guidelines, the cold climate, the dehumidification, I kind of talked to Ed about that on our discussion a little bit. But
well, then you don't need to hear anything else from me. If Ed talked about it, I'm sure he hit all the high points.
Ed's a talker.
He is very eloquent. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So what else is ACCA working on right now? You said you're working with Measure Quick with the quality installation.
Right.
And that's really drawing that data in through Measure Quick. And then that's how a contractor is going to get that quality installation certificate. And it's all based on the data that came in through Measure Quick, right?
For that installation. When about 15 years ago, ACCA, Energy Star approached ACCA and said, hey, we want you to be the gateway. We want you to make sure that only good contractors come in and install systems in our Energy Star certified homes. And Glenn Horahan at the time said, no, we didn't have a way. How could we know how a contractor did? How do we know that they complied with the standard? So we said, we're not equipped for that. We don't have the capacity, the tools to do that. And Energy Star must have been desperate. They came back. And so we said, here's what we can do. We can work with the rating community. They're in these homes anyway. They can verify a few elements. We'll look and make sure that they're licensed, that they're properly insured, that their businesses are registered, that they're a legitimate functioning business, and that they have committed to delivering quality. So we've got a rater in the field. We're doing some oversight. And then we did some file reviews, and we went in downrange and visited contractors to see how they're complying and what they're doing. And that was a pretty good model. It wasn't bad, but it's still more of a commitment. We found some raters didn't necessarily have the skill set or the willingness to do some of the verification on their end. And I don't necessarily hold that against them. I think you've got to stay in your wheelhouse sometimes. But this partnership with MeasureQuick and the use of Bluetooth or connected tools to collect data objectively and verify elements of the installation seemed like a perfect match. And so we're very excited about that. Very excited.
How many certificates have you got going out right now?
So we just really got started, and there's a lot more interest. There's a lot more people exploring than there are actually completing the process. And that's a big part of what we're doing now, is working with MeasureQuick to make sure that the process is as simple as it can be without being too simple, if you will. But at this time, I think we're at about 300 certificates that have been started, and we're just getting a few people to get across the finish line. And in fact, we'll have a session on that tomorrow afternoon, I believe. Brian Feeney will talk more about those quality installation certificates.
Very nice. Yeah, I think Mr. Feeney is going to cover that tomorrow. I'm pretty sure that's on my schedule.
Excellent. Excellent.
Sorry, folks. By the time you hear this, this will all be over and done with. But there's always next year, right?
There's always next year. And if I'm sure we're going to have recordings of sessions, and you're more than welcome to come and listen to sessions later.
Oh, okay. You guys are recording all the sessions then too.
That is my understanding. Yes.
Okay. Very nice. That's handy.
Very handy. Yeah. That's handy. So if there was a session that you, for those who attended and you went to session A when you wanted to go to session B or C or D, now you can go back and look at those sessions.
Oh, very cool. That's a good idea, because that's a hard thing that I find really hard with a lot of these events, is there's three sessions going on at the same time and I want to go to all three of them and there's only one of me.
That's a happy problem to have if you're throwing a party, if you're having that conference, hosting that conference.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Wes, I know you've got other things to do today that are better than to talk to me.
I don't know about that, but so, I do have some meetings after run and attend.
Wes is an important guy.
Oh, you're very kind.
So any last words you want to leave with the listeners today?
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the opportunity. I really honestly do. It's always fun to see you. It's always good to chat with you. And I am truly honored and humbled to be invited to participate.
Likewise, Wes. I appreciate you coming by and getting a chance to talk to you and show the world a little bit more about how these standards happen and what goes on behind the scenes and how they can get involved.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Building HVAC Science Podcast. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us at marketing@truetechtools.com, TRUTECHTOOLS.com. And some of the topics we discuss require technical training for proper interpretation and or safe execution. So if you're trained pro, go ahead. If you're not, please consult with and hire a trained pro. The Building HVAC Science Podcast is a production of True Tech Tools Limited. In full disclosure, I'm a co-owner of TrueTech, and the opinions voiced are those of my guests, my co-host, or myself, depending on who is speaking, of course. And if you're in the market for some tools or test instruments mentioned in the podcast or just in general, take a look at what TrueTechTools.com offers. That's TRUTECHTOOLS.com. And you can use the offer code HVACBS for a nice discount. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Building HVAC Science Podcast. If you haven't listened to some other episodes, this is episode 162, so there's some other ones to delve into in our catalog of episodes. And please click subscribe to keep up to date when we come out with the new episodes, so they'll appear for you right there in your podcast app. Thanks again, and have a wonderful day. We look forward to talking at you again on Building HVAC Science Podcast. Take care.